step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
To London to observe the Ukraine crisis, the Russian crisis, the unknowns of the mutiny, rebellion, putsch. There are many words for also insurrection, for what's going on in Russia or what happened in Russia. So I read these headlines before I turn to London. Russia paid $1 billion to Prigozhin's group in 1 year, says Vladimir Putin. Russia-friendly politicians distanced themselves from the president after the shock of the invasion, but pendulum is slowly swinging back, writes the Telegraph. Lukashenko, the dictator of Belarus, says, I stopped Prigozhin's mutiny to save us all from death. The London Telegraph reports British spies had, quote, extremely detailed picture of the mutiny plans. And one more headline just to illustrate the helter-skelter of these headlines. Vladimir Putin says, quote, blackmail attempts are doomed to failure. I welcome Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics, and yet, because he's in London, I'm keen on how this story, which is ongoing and changes every few hours in headlines, there's no reason to count on any of the headlines I just read you to be confirmed. We're just getting reports from various parts of the drama. How it has been presented to the British public. Why? Because London is the agreed-upon home of many of the oligarchs called billionaires and their families. Large pieces of the very expensive property of London are in the possession of Russian nationals, even now, this more than a year into the Ukraine war. Joe, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. The presentation I can read in the London Telegraph and the London Times, but I don't know about the BBC, nor do I know how carefully this story is being followed in London. Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John, I think there's enormous interest in this story here in the UK and across Europe in the same way that there has been in the US, except that I would add it feels a bit more immediate, partly because geographically we're just closer to Russia over here. So I think that there's always been a greater sense of immediacy about developments within Russia. It is somewhat closer to home. And then I think also because there has been so much ongoing interest in the Ukraine war in general, and specifically in the progress of the current Ukrainian counteroffensive, I think that there was a lot of curiosity about how the weekend's, whether you want to call it a mutiny or whatever it was, how that might affect Russia's ability to fend off the Ukrainian counteroffensive. And so I think that a lot of the interest in these issues in Europe has been cast in those terms. And then now we're hitting the point where you start getting into more discussions about what does this mean in terms of the pace or kind of aid that the West should be offering to Ukraine right now? Has there become an opportunity to try to capitalize on? And if so, what form might that take? So I definitely think people have paid very close attention to all of this.
The Sunak government, Rishi Sunak, especially his Minister of Defense, Ben Wallace, have they received plaudits for their conduct with regard to Ukraine? I note that in many of the confabs over these last weeks, whenever there's an opportunity, Prime Minister Sunak confers quite warmly with President Zelensky of Kyiv, whenever they're in the room together. And Ben Wallace is often mentioned as a very strong supporter of Kyiv. In fact, the best information we have of the Ukraine battlefront comes out of London, and I presume that's the Ministry of Defense or MI6, or both, providing information to the British public. Are they both given credit for their conduct these last weeks?
Well, the backdrop for this is that Rishi Sunak's Conservative Party administration is deeply, deeply unpopular in the UK right now and widely expected to lose the next election, whenever that comes, probably next year, mainly because of their mismanagement of the economy. And against that backdrop, the government's steadfast support for Ukraine during the war is probably the most popular thing that they've done. And in fact, it has proved durable because this all started under Boris Johnson's prime ministership. Remember him? And when Liz Truss was the prime minister for a few weeks, she steadfastly continued the support. And that is something that Rishi Sunak has continued himself as prime minister. So I think that there's been this key sense that support for the Ukrainian war effort is something very important that the UK is doing and that it is right that it do so. What's interesting, I thought, was that Western leaders wisely stayed on the sidelines during the Prigozhin mutiny or whatever this event was over the weekend. So the focus has stayed very much on what is the West going to do for Ukraine. It has not been how could the West interfere in domestic politics in Russia. And I think that that's an important distinction, and it's one that Western leaders are right to make, because I think that way lies madness. And it's best to focus on the thing that we can do, which is to support Ukrainian attempts to defend their own sovereign territory.
In Germany, you know very well, the Olaf Scholz government is now discussing what is called the National Security Strategy, which is a first for Germany. To my understanding, they don't even have a National Security Council yet. They're talking about their 2% investment. They're talking about a change of direction entirely for the German people as a leader in the European Union and in NATO. Is that conversation going on in London? I note there's a headline in the Telegraph, a paper that's long been associated with the Conservatives. "We need credible force to be a deterrent," says the head of the British Army. General Sir Patrick Sanders sees similarities with underfunding in the 1930s during the rise of the Hitlerites. In Germany, the way that's presented is you've pledged a 2% of our economy for national defense for NATO, and yet there's been no change in the budget for the coalition. So this is a paradox. Is there the same conflict in London given the strictures of the troubled economy?
It's an important contrast between Germany and the UK, I think, which is very instructive, because this debate has not been as active in the United Kingdom lately, and that's because they don't think they need to have it to the same extent that other parts of Europe do. The United Kingdom has consistently kept up its defense spending above the 2% NATO target. That's 2% of GDP. It does have one of the better equipped militaries in Europe. It has always taken its defense obligations within NATO more seriously than some other member states, such as Germany. So there's the problem, though, is that that history is now creating a tendency to coast or to not think that they have to renew this discussion now, even at a time when the defense spending in inflation-adjusted terms is coming under pressure from rising inflation. And as the government finances have become more stretched, there's going to be more and more pressure to find cuts that they can make in the defense budget. Whereas Germany, because they understand that they are starting from a low baseline and they know that they do urgently need to have this debate, I think are now in a position where the Germans are, over the past year, have started having a somewhat more forthright debate about defense spending than the Brits have had, because the Germans understand that they actually do need to catch up, whereas I think the Brits are in danger of failing to notice that they're starting to fall behind.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, he writes political economics, and we're going to turn to that next because the United Kingdom is not in a recession, but the word is used routinely. When we come back, what about the finances of the homeowners of the United Kingdom? What about the finances of the savers? What about the Tory party's plans to dig themselves out of a hole that they, I guess the metaphor doesn't work. They dug the hole and now they're trying to dig themselves out. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bachelor.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.